Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast! Starring Dave Schilling, Randolph Keys, Jeff Grayer, Joey Devine, Fannis Dembo, Liddell Eccles, Sean Keane, Marlon Wiley. Patreons, Drake's best friend, Sean Woodley. In duty, Evie. Thanks, Aaron. Fabian. Thanks, Fabian. Musical guest, the Bahaman. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi. We're back. 2 days late, but we are back. And you're listening to Round Ball Rock. I am, of course, your temporary co-host, Joey Devine, and I'm here with the permanent co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, sup, fam?
Hey, how's it going? I was in Seattle this weekend, but like the Oklahoma City Thunder, I left. They deserve a team, baby. Now, did I see really anything in the city of Seattle, including my friends? Not really. I was mostly on an island. I did not see Frazier's house. I did not run into Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews isn't from Seattle.
He lives there now.
He does?
Yeah.
Why? Do they allow him to dump the shit from his tour bus all over town? Is that why he lives there now?
He probably has done that. I think Dave Matthews maybe finds his aesthetic is pretty common in Seattle. That's just a thought. Like, if he likes wearing like a big warm hat all the time, which I think he might. Like, Dave Matthews is getting pretty bald.
I think of him as like they're from like one of those
Virginia, party
southern towns, right? Doesn't he seem more like a South Carolina man?
Well, I mean, I think he's actually from Virginia, but
well, he's actually
from South Africa.
Yeah, he likes Steve Nash. and Elon Musk.
Joey, they're from Charlottesville.
No.
And I mean, if you've been to a Dave Matthews Band crowd, you might see some khaki pants
and tiki torches.
I'm not saying they'd get tiki torches. The band itself, pretty diverse.
No, but I'm saying the tailgate in the arena parking lot definitely has people setting up tiki torches. You know what I mean?
Oh, that you know what? You're right about that. But I think Dave Matthews at some point move to Seattle.
Weird. You lose one Eddie Vedder, you gain one Dave Matthews.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, yeah, he has lived in Seattle. Hold on.
Is there like a rule that a headliner of the Bridge School Benefit has to live in Seattle at all times?
At all times.
Is that why he moved there?
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. They made Metallica move there for a little while. There was a great story in Sammy Hagar's autobiography, which I listened to recently. It's pretty crazy. He definitely believes in a lot of numerology and stuff, but he tells a mean story about Eddie Van Halen when Paul Simon was doing the Bridge School Benefit. And he was like, "Oh, Eddie, I'd love to play a song with you." And Eddie Van Halen just like could not learn any Paul Simon songs. He's like, "Come on, it's a slip sliding away. It's not that hard." And Eddie Van Halen was just too fucked up to learn it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he talk about how he does not know who Billie Eilish is in the book?
It's before that book was written when Billie Eilish was like 9.
Well, you know what? Somebody needs to send her a copy. All right.
What if she's like, "Oh yeah, the Red Rocker.
Yeah.
He was in Van Halen." She's like, I'm more into his work with Montrose. By the way, Dave Matthews has lived in Virginia, in Seattle for at least, apparently he moved there during, George W. Bush's second term.
Oh, because it was almost Canada?
Yeah, he was like, "I'm going to leave the country, but first I got to say, hock up your flannel pants a little more.
All right.
Show the sound to me."
All right.
I hate that song, Joey.
Let's talk about some basketball, although there's a lot of non-basketball questions here. Let's go to reader mail.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean, our first question. First off, I should say all of our questions this week come from our Discord channel. Which
Joey,
how
do you join it?
Well, patreon.com/roundrockpod. $3 a month, you join the greatest community on the internet.
It really is.
Yeah, it's like leftist basketball Reddit. Our first question comes from El Half Narrow, who says, "Who are the Frank Black and Kim Deal of the NBA? And why do I feel like it's Chris Webber and Jalen Rose?" We should explain who Frank Black and Kim Deal are first.
Yeah, yeah. They're from the Pixies.
The band the Seminole, Pixies, yes.
The Seminole, they started in the mid-80s, is that right?
Yes.
A Boston band?
Boston band, yeah, correct.
Who's the other primary member?
What's his name? He's a magician.
Is it Jimmy Santiago? Is that his name?
Yeah, and then there's the drummer who's a magician whose name I can't remember.
Did you know the Detroit Lions started an amateur magician on Thanksgiving, Joey?
I did not know that.
Yes, they did. They did not win.
I don't feel like it's Chris Webber and Jalen Rose, first off. Chris Webber and Jalen Rose, I think, are the Kim Gordon and Thurston Moore of the NBA.
Oh, like they're straight up divorced?
Together forever,
saying?
Divorced, and everyone picked a side, and it's Jalen Rose's. Which makes Jalen Rose Kim Gordon, of course.
I mean, they still kind of work in the same field.
The only reason Chris Webber can't be Thurston Moore is because he refuses to appear in documentaries, and Thurston Moore is contractually obligated to be in any documentary.
That's
you
true.
Just have to say his name 3 times in a mirror, and he'll appear talking about any band behind us while sitting in front of a stack of vinyl.
Yeah, he will. He brings his own vinyl to those shoots, too. You don't even need, like, a set decorator or anything. So Frank Black and Kim Deal, I would say their relationship is like, Kim Deal was kind of marginalized by Frank Black for a long time, yes. Right? Would you say that's correct? And even when they were like reforming the Pixies, they were like all playing together without her.
Right, but it's a cold war, not a hot war, right? Wouldn't you describe it as that?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like he's talking shit about Kim Deal. He just is not inviting her to things.
Right.
But they had a lot of like good history together.
Right.
Let me think about what this. I'm trying to think of somebody who's kind of excluded from this thing. She also kind of found her own team.
Yeah, I think it might actually be Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler.
Well, like, except they didn't actually do anything good together.
That's true. Well, they made the playoffs.
Yeah, on the last day of the season.
Okay, what if it's Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid?
But that's an even shorter partnership.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of great and the and recent NBA divorces, you know?
Uh-huh, right,
because,
right,
like,
right.
Dirk and Steve Nash, that's not it.
No.
Although
no,
it is similar in that Steve Nash went on to do things that fucking ruled, just like Kim Deal, away from right. Frank Black.
Well, yeah, she got her own team.
Yeah.
but I'm going to say it's like,
Oh, you know what I think who it is? I think it is. I think Harden is Kim Deal, and Frank Black is Westbrook / Durant.
Yeah, I mean that's not bad. Yeah, I would like to make it one and one. That's the only thing. I think you're right. Spiritually, you're correct. I mean, like. God, like partnerships like that. It's, you know what it kind of reminds, except it's like the reverse is, I was thinking like Garnett and Marbury, but Marbury is almost like if the Breeders had been like a weird art rock band and then like went into like Bitcoin mining or something. Like that's what the arc of Marbury's career is.
You know what? You know who it might actually be?
Who's that?
It might be Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker.
Oh, wait, which one's? But Antoine Walker leaves.
Well, right? I mean, just the fact that like they were so linked, and then one solo, one did better, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Well, and they also had like.
And that solo was satisfying. Yeah. And the solo who did better is not Frank Black, is what I'm saying.
Well, they also had like an unsatisfying reunion briefly.
Yeah.
Remember when Antoine Walker went back to the Celtics? It was like, wow, I don't know about that one.
Right. It's almost Dwayne Wade and LeBron James that way too, except there's not enough acrimony there.
Right. They're still buddies, and it's like yeah, and it's almost like if Frank Black had like a completely different like hip hop group beforehand,
right?
I mean, it's not really a Shaq and Penny situation because I don't think they disliked each other either.
They kind of did.
I think it was more like Shaq kind of got like the city turned on him.
Right. And he was like jealous of Penny a little bit because Penny was so lovable.
What about Steve Francis and Katino Mobley?
You know what? That's not bad. But I feel like there's not enough. Neither of them did enough on their own to be one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like a little too late. Their breakup came too late. Yeah, and like two people who kind of started.
And you know what?
Yeah.
While we're talking about this, you know who Harden, Westbrook, and Durant are, actually? They're REM.
Oh. So.
And Harden is when the drummer leaves, and they keep going on, and everyone's like, yeah, this is pretty good, but not quite as good.
And then Kevin Durant going to the Warriors is like Peter Buck wrecking that plane. Yeah. It's like, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two. I was like thinking of the Spurs, but I'm like, no one ever left.
You know, you know who it's going to be, though.
Do you think it's going to be like?
It's going to be Embiid and Simmons.
Oh, yeah. I guess they're both going to have like very different teams eventually.
But and Simmons will just never admit to hating Embiid, you know, because he just doesn't won't talk to anybody about it. You know what I mean?
What about LeBron and Kyrie?
Yeah, you know what? That's who it is. It's LeBron and Kyrie for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good question, though.
It is a good question. We are always down to answer any indie rock question, NBA question, as long as the bands are from pre-2010.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to quote El Hufnero later in the podcast, okay, too. Something he said on the Popping Off Discord.
All right, let's get to the meat of this. This one's going to take us a while, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad, honestly, that there's nothing going on in the NBA, so we have enough time to devote to this question. Imagine if there was a mid-season tournament going on right now. We'd have to talk about that instead of this wonderful question.
All right, from the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Raptors host, and I believe head of Locked On NHL, but I might be wrong about that. I don't know. He does work for them in some other capacity. Our friend of the pod, former and future guest, Sean Woodley, asks, "Hi, guys. On the list of the top 15 scorers in the league, which players does Martin Scorsese think are cinema, and which players does he think are not? Also, which movie would Scorsese liken each player to?" So, okay. Sean, I have the list of the top 15 scoring leaders in the NBA this season.
Okay,
so
great.
Let's decide cinema or not cinema first, and then we'll talk about what movie they are.
Okay, great.
All right. Number 15. I'm going to tell you right now, this is an easy answer.
Yeah.
Devin Booker.
Not cinema.
Not cinema. He's like Frozen 2.
You know, and I could honestly see him, like, I'm trying to think of the best example of someone who like breaks out of like the shittiest mainstream, like if Devin Booker manages to become an all-star, it'll be like Taylor Lautner winning an Independent Spirit Award.
It's like when Inception was nominated for Best Picture, which was just like a reaction to The Dark Knight not being nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, I could see it maybe even being like when McConaughey had that one crazy year after just making like five romantic comedies in a row with Terry Bradshaw.
All right, number 14, Donovan Mitchell. Cinema, or does Martin Scorsese, again, it's not us, it's Martin Scorsese. Does Martin Scorsese think Donovan Mitchell is cinema or not cinema?
God, you know what?
This one's borderline to me.
This is borderline, I think, too, but you know what pushes me over the edge?
What?
Donovan Mitchell's intense, thirsty self-identification with Spider-Man. And we know how Martin Scorsese
not
feels
cinema.
About Spider-Man. Yeah, not cinema, Donovan Mitchell.
What movie does Martin Scorsese think Donovan Mitchell is?
Oh, do you want to go to that? We haven't.
I said Frozen 2 for Devin Booker.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize. Oh, what is Donovan Mitchell? Okay. I'm going to say this is a weird one. Donovan Mitchell is The Way of the Gun.
That's pretty good.
The Christopher McQuarrie movie. Yeah.
I'm aware. Yeah. Yeah. I like it. All right. All right. Number 13, Andrew Wiggins.
You know, he's not cinema, but I think Scorsese thinks it's closer.
I think he's cinema. And I'll tell you why.
What?
Redemption story.
I mean, I get it. And like, he's pretty raw, like athleticism. I can see how he's like kind of a Scorsese type protagonist, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he thinks Andrew Wiggins is like, I think he thinks he's Rocky.
Oh, wow. I was going to say
he also loses in the end. He's a fucking loser.
I was kind of thinking he's kind of like, I mean, I'm trying to think of the best example of this genre. Like maybe the Big Easy, maybe the Mighty Quinn, but like, like kind of dirtbag corrupt cop finally tries to do the right thing. He like looks the police chief in the eye and promises to actually do police work.
He's too chaste, but it's almost close. He's almost bad lieutenant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. But he's not. There's no sex in Andrew Wiggins' game. You know what I mean?
No, he'd be like, he's like going to arcades and like, like instead of going to prostitutes, he's going to like a LAN party.
All right, Sean. I think we might disagree on this one.
Okay.
Number 12, Kawhi Leonard. Cinema or not cinema?
You know, I think he's cinema, but I get how it's close.
I think Scorsese thinks he's not cinema. It's too robotic. It's formulaic. You know what I mean?
There's... I understand. Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think he's like, okay, so there's two things that I think this is like, that it's almost like he's a Jim Jarmusch film. Because he's almost like Johnny Depp in Dead Man. But also he's kind of like the Scorsese movie Silence.
Yeah, but to he's me, silent. His game isn't... The things around Kawhi, you know, like, hey.
Yeah.
And the Terminator commercial or whatever are very, like, idiosyncratic and Jarmusch-y. So I get that. But just his game, to me, it's too... There's not a lot of personality there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just think he's like... He's almost like a throwback to the robot from Metropolis, you know?
Yeah.
Like all the pieces work together very seamlessly.
Yeah, I think Scorsese thinks he's like a Alita Battle Angel or whatever, one of those movies that's just like a CGI character is the main character and doesn't work.
I think he's more like a non-racist John Wayne, kind of like silent and he's definitely, I feel like he's a Western, but I get how you would think he was CGI.
All right, this one's a slam dunk to me.
Yeah.
Number 11, Pascal Siakam.
He's an Academy Award winner. Yeah. He's like he should scrimmage at AFI, I think.
And to me, Pascal Siakam is like he's Fargo. You know what I mean?
I could see that.
Just a real fun roller coaster.
The whole thing's put together.
Cinema.
And he makes everybody else is made better in that too. Yeah, and I could also see, I mean, like, that's a perfect choice. I'm trying to think of something that starts slower and gets crazy. I mean, in a way, he's kind of like a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to me.
Sure.
Yeah. A little goofy, you know?
All right. Brandon Ingram, number 10. Cinema or not cinema?
I'm going to say he's not cinema. It's just, there's not enough of an arc yet. You know, it's all potential right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Although to me, it's close.
Yeah.
His game is so weird. So,
and he was, yeah.
I think he's like, He's like the Goonies. You know what I mean?
Say,
where it's like almost E.T.
Yeah. I think he's like the Brothers McMullen. Where you're like, oh, this has a lot of potential. What's this guy going to do later? And it's like, he's going to make the same movie, but with Jennifer Aniston in it instead. And like people are really interested in working with him. And it's like, what's he ultimately going to do? It's like, just produce a weird Showtime show, I guess.
All right. Number nine, Sean, The king himself, LeBron James.
I think he's definitely cinema.
I wanted to, as a joke, say not cinema, but he's definitely cinema.
Yeah,
but it's like just brutalist cinema.
It is like, it's like, I'm trying to think, like, what's the, he's almost like that, like 6 hour Klaus Barbie documentary. I mean, in a way he's like the Irishman. He's always like surrounding himself with old stars. His career's gone on really long. Where you're just like, I don't know if he needed to spend all that screen time in Cleveland, honestly.
See, I think he thinks he's the Clockwork Orange.
He's just like, there's no
there's just like, this is really good, but I never want to see it again.
Yeah.
It's just so pummeling.
Yeah, like something with just like a huge death count, yeah. It feels like.
All right. Number eight, Karl Anthony Towns.
I think he's definitely cinema. Just again, the weirdness, the sort of like, it seems like a lot has happened to Karl Anthony Towns in a short amount of time.
And he plays like it.
Yeah. Like he has like a, he has a bit of a heavy heart. Like I could see, I don't think this is the best equivalent to him, but in a way the franchise has treated him is not unlike Old Boy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he's just been locked up with this franchise, doesn't really know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. People just appear and disappear all the time. He's just like a door opens and he's given like 15 outlet passes a game.
Yeah, I think he is like, he's too young for Sunset Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the second half of his career, he'd be like, this is like Sunset Boulevard. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's been locked in a house forever. He used to be a star.
Here's what I'm going to say. This is a little bit, like, excellent performances, but kind of emotionally draining. Mm-hmm. I think he might be Manchester by the Sea, Joey.
Mm.
It might not be that dark, but
I think he's Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, like as sidekicks are steering him wrong.
Yeah. And also everyone knows it's going to end in tragedy.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
No doubt.
All right. Number seven, Anthony Davis. This is another one I'm a little on the line about.
I'm gonna say no with this guy. Like it, I think he's in the midst of becoming cinema.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Scorsese just kind of thinks it's not only is it a bit of a paint by numbers superhero kind of thing, but I think he feels like it's like a sequel. He's like Chris Paul too, you know, like oh, this guy in New Orleans never got any help and individually did well, but it didn't really show up. And then he got shipped to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. He's like, come on, like find a different storyline, guys. He thinks he's like The Hangover too.
See, I was going to say, I think he thinks he's Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is a more exciting reboot, but they didn't really fix anything here.
All right, Damian Lillard, Sean, does Martin Scorsese think Damian Lillard is cinema?
I think he does. I think he's like, he likes the family elements. And it's a guy who is like personally admirable, but is in a situation that he's never going to really win in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, I guess he's kind of like Goodfellas, I would say.
Interesting. I think he is a lot more. Goodfellas is really fun. I was thinking,
Yeah, he's not boring. He's not slow, but it's also not like a thing with a happy ending.
Yeah. He might be on the waterfront.
And like instead of he won't throw a fight. Or he did, yeah, like he won't leave Portland. That's his.
Yeah, that's his thing. He could have been a contender, but they kept CJ McCollum.
Yeah,
but Neil could kept have been a CJ contender
instead of owning a vegan restaurant, which is what I am.
All right, Trey Young.
I think he's definitely cinema.
Easily cinema, like so easily cinema. And I'm going to tell you exactly what movie he is. Are you ready?
What is it? Yeah,
he is Singing in the Rain.
Oh,
Martin Scorsese
I can see that.
Thinks
yeah.
he is Singing in the Rain.
It's just like a joyful. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah.
All right. Bradley Beal.
Boy, you know, I wouldn't have said this a year ago, but I think Scorsese thinks he's cinema.
Explain
I think
yourself.
Because like with John Wall, kind of a disappointment, kind of. It's like he just became a leading man, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, there's something here. Like it's almost Bradley Cooper like, I would say, where you're like, I never really thought this would happen, and then suddenly it's like, did he just get 3 Oscar nominations? but it's still not that great. Like you still don't really respect Bradley Cooper as an actor mm-hmm. that much.
Sure.
But you're kind of like he's put in the work. Mm-hmm. There's still like there's a lot of career to go, but he's like, I don't think Scorsese thinks he's a particularly great film, but I think he thinks he's like pretty interesting now.
Sure. Okay. I'm going to say, you know what? So pick like, go ahead.
I have a thought about this and I feel like one of the actors in it is correct. And maybe, the director, and now I'm just remembering. You say yours, and I'll remember this stupid title. I can't remember.
I think he thinks he's Forrest Gump, if he thinks he's cinema. Where it's a good filmmaker made this. I get how it's film, but, like, come on. It's a blockbuster. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's Foxcatcher.
Because
you've got, like, Channing Tatum is a little bit in that, like, oh, okay. But also, it's, like, kind of not that great.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I was going with Forrest Gump, too. We all know how I feel about that. All right.
Yeah.
Number 3. Is Luka Doncic cinema?
He is.
I'm torn on this.
I think he is just, like, if he weren't foreign, it would be different. But I think Scorsese just, like, has this idea that he's like I think he thinks he's like our American friend. Do you know that movie?
Yeah.
That Wim Wenders movie with mm-hmm. Dennis Hopper. I think that's what it is, where it's almost like he would be on the fence if he were just like a regular American guy. But the fact that it's like European kind of pushes Scorsese into cinema.
My thing is, I want to get this out of the way. I love Luka Doncic. Don't get me wrong. I demand you write a song about him every week.
That's true.
I love him so much. He's so exciting to watch. But when we're talking about cinema, I do sort of feel like every Luka Doncic highlight is basically the same. Where it's him doing that, either that hesitation and drive or a hesitation and step back. Do you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
I get what you're
where
saying.
Where it's a little repetitive.
Uh-huh.
So he's got one move, but you know what? I'm with you. I love him too much to say he's not cinema. I'm to really disagree with you. But so I'm going to say he's Dr. Strangelove. Because it's got one move and it's Peter Sellers.
Yeah. I want to say if he started dunking more, I think he would become more cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of dunking, this one's a fucking slam dunk. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He's absolutely cinema. He's like, yeah.
He's the Wizard of Oz.
That's great. He's the Wizard of Oz. He's Casablanca. Yeah. You know what he's kind of like, actually? The Third Man, mm-hmm. where you're just like, this kind of has everything that you would want all together.
Yeah.
But no, he's the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Like, just an absolute classic out of the gate.
Cannot, like,
we're going to be talking about him for 50 years. He's, like, basically turned the city of Milwaukee from black and white into color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, James Harden, Sean.
No fucking way is he cinema. I mean, he's like, I don't think Martin Scorsese even thinks he's like a Marvel movie.
He's like like an industrial film.
Yeah. Or he's like Gus Van Sant's Psycho. You know what I mean? Just like.
But see, like, I think Martin Scorsese would say Gus Van Sant because of Gus Van Sant's standing. I think he would argue that Gus Van Sant's Psycho is cinema.
Yeah. But yeah, like
he'd be like, oh, he's a great filmmaker. He's experimenting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie, Joey?
Yeah. The only thing he added is Vince Vaughn masturbating.
It's so weird. It's so weird he keeps that last scene. It is a completely inexplicable thing. And he used his Goodwill Hunting cred to make a shot-by-shot remake of Psycho with Vince Vaughn and Anne Hesch.
Look, man, I love Gus Van Sant, and I can't defend it.
No. I mean, I even like his school shooting movie.
Yeah, that movie rules. Elephant? It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Kurt Cobain death movie I love. Most people do not like that movie.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
That a very watchable. Yeah, it's like, but you're right. It's like an industrial movie. It's like, it almost feels like.
He thinks it's binge watching Friends. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Just lower, just the dregs. It's binge watching episodes of The American Office on a phone in the subway.
I was going to say video game cutscenes. Where it's like, oh, there's nothing you can do. I'm just going to watch this again. And it's just like exploiting it. And because his game is like exploiting a glitch in a video game.
Well, that's what I was going to say, though.
With like a PR department. Yeah.
I think, though, of all of these guys, James Harden is the one that Martin Scorsese would most like to make a movie about.
I can see that.
Because he loves grifters.
Yeah, right. And he is the ultimate NBA grifter.
Yes, he's the greatest grifter in sports history, possibly. I mean, I'm sure like, there's some spitballer in the 30s or whatever, but like...
Yeah, I mean, like, of the modern era. Yeah, I mean, there was like... Hal Chase and like Gaylord Perry was like a notable cheater to the point where he would like pretend to cheat and throw a normal pitch.
But I could see, I want to see Scorsese's James Harden movie, actually.
I mean, it's because I kind of wish Scorsese had made the Catch Me If You Can story instead of Spielberg. Yeah. So it was like a little less wholesome and a little more like you're pretending to be pilots.
I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that definitely would not have. Yeah, imagine Harvey Keitel in the Hanks role instead. It still would have starred DiCaprio.
Yeah, weirdly, it still.
I don't know why. I like a lot of the movies. Still, don't totally understand the partnership.
I mean, it didn't make sense, and even though he's good in all of them. Still didn't make sense until Wolf of Wall Street, and then I was like, oh, this is what he's been trying to get to.
Yeah, right. And, yeah, he's certainly fine in The Departed, but also it's like, I don't know, it's weird.
He saw the gross in DiCaprio before we all did, you know what I mean? He was like, this adult man's dating a 17-year-old. He's disgusting. I love him. Put him in all my movies.
Yeah, this is weird. Oh, the pussy posse? Oh. That's incredible.
He's vaping 24 hours a day while also talking. Well, I don't know why I'm doing Bill Simmons.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta do Marty. He's vaping. He's vaping.
I like 24 hours a day. But also, like, he won't stop talking about global warming. It's like, maybe the water vapor's not helping there, Leo. All right. And our final question. Yes. This should maybe be a news story, too.
Yeah.
But it came out earlier this week that Enes Kanter and James Dolan are friends who text each other. And Stephen Bentz asked, what do Enes Kanter and James Dolan text about?
I honestly
it's the
think...
Blues. It's the Blues.
You think it's the Blues?
It's 100% the Blues.
I kind of feel like Enes is faking it. I also would not be surprised if they, like when Enes left the Knicks, they agreed to like binge watch a Netflix show together.
Well,
and they like text about it.
The other thing we should talk about is Enes Kanter is also really good friends with Bill Clinton. So maybe he's texting him about damage control for when sex crimes come out. You know what I mean?
Right. Like Epstein playing kind of stuff. And yeah, Enes Kanter's like, look, I know some security guys. This is how I encrypt my email to keep it away from the Turkish government.
Oh, wait, I know what he's... No. See, I'm thinking it's the other way because James Dolan has had so many close relationships with sex offenders.
Oh, you're saying that they're helping Kanter get out in front of something we don't know about yet?
Yeah, that when Bill Clinton finally gets full-on caught.
Oh, gotcha. I thought he was like... helping Bill Clinton and James Dolan.
No, I think they're writing a song that Enes Kanter will perform called I Should Have Known Too about when Bill Clinton finally goes down with the Epstein stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he gets full Prince Andrew.
Yeah. Do you think James Dolan has played the song Turkey in the Straw in front of Enes Kanter?
No.
But like a bluesy version, like Turkey in the Straw. Ha ha ha.
No, it's too white. That song is too white for James Dolan. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's got to go down to the crossroads.
In his heart, in James Dolan's heart, he's like less white than the Blues Brothers. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah. he wants a song about a mean old woman, but it turns out that he only thinks that woman's mean because she's suing him for sexual harassment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, should we talk about the news?
Let's do it.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. I argued about whether we should make our first story here a Tillman time or the news, but I gotta say, I don't think Tillman actually is on board with this.
I don't think he likes it, no.
The Rockets...
This actually goes against Tillman Fertitta's philosophy.
Yeah,
actually...
which is shut up and listen.
Yeah.
The Rockets are protesting a game. Can you walk us through the details here?
Yeah, so the Rockets were playing the Spurs. They had a big lead. And with like 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, James Harden dunked it so hard that the ball went through the basket and then popped out again.
Which is cinema.
That is cinema, actually. Yeah. But then it went through again, which also might make it not cinema. But everyone was definitely confused live, including Harden, who went to chase the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ruled no basket. But then on the video, it is clearly a basket. But you've watched the play, right?
Yeah.
It is very hard to tell what's happening
right
at full speed. And then the Rockets asked about it, but they were past the like 30 seconds or whatever.
Well, apparently you can't actually replay a made basket. Like, that's not part of coaches' challenges. Why would that be? Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
when has this ever happened?
It's like it happened like 11 years ago, I think, where Manu like hit a three and they ruled it a miss, I guess. Because it looked like he was throwing an alley-oop. I don't know. So the game ended up tied. in regulation, and then the Rockets won in double overtime, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, the Spurs won.
Sorry, the Spurs won in double overtime. So initially, the Rockets said that they were hopeful that the NBA would simply award them a win.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you added those 2 points to the score, they would have won in regulation, which is such a Rockets ass thing to ask for. Like, there's no scenario where you award the Rockets a win in a game that they lost.
Right. We're going to talk about another fan base later.
Yeah.
Who would love if that's happened to them because it's their favorite thing to do. But even they wouldn't complain.
Well, they wouldn't
expect the win. They just, for a year, they'd be like, they took that game away from us.
They hate us. It's the bias. The refs hate us. So the other thing is that the Rockets want them to replay the final 7 minutes and 50 seconds of the game, which I think logistically would happen just whenever those two teams were playing.
Right.
I don't remember if this was a road game or a home game. I don't care. But I think they would play it after the other game.
Well, didn't this happen once?
It did. And I think it was...
It was when there was a fire in Mexico City, right? Didn't the Spurs have to play, like, two quarters of a game or something? I can't remember exactly what happened, but... Or they just played a doubleheader or something?
Well, there's also been games where they, like, replayed the final 5 seconds, I think, too. I'll find it. Keep talking and I'll find this.
Here's what I think needs to happen here. Greg Popovich is starting to show his ass a little bit, and we can't let Nate Duncan be right. And there's only one way he can save both face and the Spurs season. And all he needs to do is call the league office right now and just forfeit the game. Just say, I give it to the Rockets. I'm not replaying this game. Fuck you. You want the win so bad, take it. Because Greg Popovich, as we all know, is the king of the regular season doesn't matter, you dorks.
Yeah.
I don't play my stars during national TV games. I'm not going to play anyone during this 7-minute game. We are forfeiting.
We're forfeiting.
Take the win, nerds.
You fucking babies. That would be great. So there was they had to do a replay in 1982, but the most recent one was in 2008.
Yeah. This is the one I was thinking of.
This just trash Miami Heat team was playing the Hawks and, with 52 seconds to go, the official scorer incorrectly ruled that Shaq fouled out.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks ended up winning by 6 in overtime. And what they did was they just played with the Hawks leading 114-111 with 52 seconds left. And Shaq was allowed to be on the floor, and nobody scored, and the Hawks won.
Hilarious. That's amazing.
0-0.
Oh, my God. And did they play it before a game?
Yeah. It was right before the game. They played those 52 seconds and then just played a regular game after that.
Did they also lose that game?
Let me find out.
It would be so funny to lose two games in one night.
To lose two games. Yeah.
Like, if you were a fan at that game, like, oh, I saw them lose twice.
Oh. And, it's amazing that, the game that they had to replay was the last game of Alonzo Mourning's career.
Mm-hmm. So did he play?
Because he had blown out his knee in December and never played again.
Sure if it was a knee thing or a kidney thing that time. You know what I mean? He could have played 52 seconds if it was the kidney thing.
Right. he would have yelled at someone for making fun of his kidney. And Pat Riley apparently just filed the protest as like a psychological thing. Like, he didn't really think he'd win, but he's like, we're like 7-18. I thought this would kickstart the team. And then they went 8-49.
Mm-hmm. And traded Shaquille O'Neal for Sean Marion.
Traded Shaquille O'Neal, and, you know, because of that, they got Michael Beasley.
Yeah, and then because of that, they got LeBron James. All right.
And the other game that happened was also a Pat Riley game. It was and a Spurs game. The refs messed up a call in a double lane violation. Right. And so Shaq, even though they were replaying the game because Shaq fouled out, he was already off the team when they played it again. So it's like,
oh, that's hilarious.
It doesn't matter. And so, and also officially Sean Marion, because all the stats just reverted to December, Sean Marion, actually played for two teams on the same night.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Sean, let's talk about the Rockets though. Or I guess let's talk about the game first, because we didn't really bring that up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is a game the Rockets blew a 22-point lead.
They did. Yeah.
Harden went 24 from the line, but he also missed 16 three-pointers.
That's an NBA record.
Here's my question. Is this game... Oh, first off, I want to say, Forrest, I know you listen.
Yeah.
At Do Nots on Twitter. I'm sorry we're talking about this.
Yeah, it's...
We love you so much, and we're very apologetic that this is what your team is like.
And honestly, I like, historically, like, tend to root for the Houston Rockets. Yeah. Like the McGrady teams, the Barkley teams, the Akeem teams.
And Daryl Morey, I know you're listening. Still go on round ball.
Yeah, come on, dude. We'll talk. We just want to talk about musical theater. That's so hard.
I have so many questions about analytics and Mandy Patinkin. You have no idea, Daryl. All right. But is this game why the ratings are down?
I mean, kind of. Every year James Harden becomes less watchable. And people who are still supporting James Harden get more vehement about, like, no, he's great. He's great. He's tricking the refs. He's found an inefficiency. But, like, a guy who's scoring the majority of his points just by getting to the line, it, like, makes the games longer. It's boring. You get annoyed. Like,
he shoots way more free throws than Shaq. Uh-huh. And they were fouling Shaq on purpose.
Yeah, and people were complaining about that when it was happening. And it's just like, you're kind of not really playing basketball at that point. I know it's in the rules, but it's, yeah, it reminds me of baseball hit-by-pitch phenomenon, Ron Hunt, mm-hmm. who just leaned into pitches all the time. It's like, yeah, it's within the rules, but it's terrible. And you just resent the guy all the time. And you hate watching the game.
I have a different theory why ratings are down, though.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
I actually think it's because of all the player movement now.
Oh, that people aren't as loyal to a franchise now?
Like, normal basketball fans just don't even know who's on what team anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of feel like the NFL where if I'm just watching, like, a random team on a Sunday, I just have no idea who, like, the safety
is. But you do know who the quarterback is.
I know that.
And the basketball is five quarterbacks. That's the problem.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I mean, look, this is part of the reason why I feel like the Morris twins should have to be on one team. That will clear things up. Especially, you can't have one Morris twin go to a previous Morris Twins team, too.
Did you see why Marcus is hurt?
No.
So Marcus Morris is hurt because, let me get the wording exactly right. Sorry to go off topic. It's just the Rockets bum me out.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to get the wording of this correct. So Marcus Morris is injured currently. He missed a game. Because he was sleeping, and here's the tweet from at Dan Feldman NBA. Marcus Morris missed Knicks games because his, quote, huge for a one-year-old, unquote, son jumped on him to wake him.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, that happened to a member of the San Francisco Giants, Jeremy Affeld, who also once injured himself separating frozen hamburger patties.
Yeah.
But he was very cagey about his injury, and the team like just called it like a knee injury suffered off the field. And like months later, Jeremy Affeld was like, my 2-year-old's really fat, and he jumped from the couch, and I caught him without being ready, but I didn't want to make him feel bad, so I didn't tell anybody except the team.
But so, Sean, you're an expert in children. You've babysit several.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, if anyone in the Los Angeles area needs to hire a babysitter, hire Sean.
Yeah, I'm good. I can give you references. I took a kid to an amusement park this week.
So great. How huge is huge for a 1-year-old? Now, take in mind, the word is huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
It's still not that big, Joey. It shouldn't be able to hurt Marcus Morris. Like the biggest 2-year-old I can imagine.
One. Like, it's one.
One. Right. I'm just saying, like, the biggest age, like, the thing is, he was in bed. I buy that, like, a heavy child jumping on you can, like, make you just twist your ankle or something like that. But even the biggest 1-year-old imaginable jumping on you while you're in bed, I just don't buy it here.
Sure. So you think he was doing something else?
I'm just saying, like,
do you think Marquise Morris jumped on him when he was sleeping?
Yes. Yes, I do. Because, like, a huge 1-year-old is still, like, maybe 25 pounds. 30 pounds, maybe? And you could just have, like, a 30-pound sack dropped on you and you'd be fine.
But if you're sleeping, your body doesn't protect itself.
It's still a 1-year-old, man. He's huge! He's 6'8". I guess, if you told me that, like...
Okay.
Kay Felder got hurt by like a 4-year-old jumping on him, I would buy that. But a Morris twin with even the biggest 1-year-old imaginable, okay.
I found the biggest 10-month-old.
Okay.
And he is
Turkish.
At 2 months he was 22 pounds.
Oh my God.
And at 10 months, God damn, it's the sun. He was 4 stone 6 pounds. So hold on, gotta do my let me remember my Bush album math. Stone to pounds.
A stone is 14 pounds.
Okay, so four stones is 56. Plus 6 pounds. Okay. So 62 pounds. That could injure a Morris twin, Sean.
That could. I just don't think this kid is 62 pounds. I don't buy it. 45 pounds tops.
All right, back to the
Rockies. By which I mean, of course, 3 stone and 3 pounds.
All right, Daryl Morey, if you're listening, I would like you to audit Marcus Morris's son's weight, please, and let us know.
I'm a fat toddler truther, Joey.
Here's a question, Sean.
Uh-huh.
Have the Rockets become a parody of themselves?
Yes, for asking for the win, yes.
I don't think we're there quite yet.
Because the problem is they're still
starting Russell Westbrook, which is the least Rockets-y thing possible.
Yeah.
And Tillman Fertitta has yet to chime in on this. That's when they become a parody of themselves. Tillman Fertitta has to have an impromptu press conference in front of a brick wall somewhere where he talks about how the ref should be shot into space or whatever. And then they become a parody of themselves. Here's my other question for you. Mike D'Antoni doesn't like this, right?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't because he's been burned so much by protests with the league.
Yeah.
That like he just doesn't think something good is going to come out of it. He's waiting for the other unnecessary suspension to drop.
Also, he's a chill Bernie bro. Don't forget, he doesn't want
this. Oh,
that's
true. This is some Mitt Romney shit. and again, never forget, Daryl Morey contributed to Mitt Romney's presidential campaign.
All right, and finally, Sean, what will their next? What will the Rockets' next protest be?
Okay, I think they're gonna like throw it back to the movie Hoosiers,
mm-hmm.
and it's gonna be Daryl Morey demanding a measurement to make sure that the length of the court and the height of the basket are the same as their gym in Houston. Like, he misunderstood that scene, mm-hmm. and he didn't realize that he was just telling those guys not to get intimidated in a big arena. And he's like, no, Coach Normandale, he thought there was some chicanery. He wanted to be able to play the game under protest if the basket was only 9 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches.
I think their next protest is just straight up going to be, they're going to demand robot refs.
Yep, I can see that. They'll talk to Vivek about it,
yeah.
too. Oh, did you hear that Vivek story this week, Joey?
I did not. We're really getting off track. But yeah, Vivek Ranadive, the owner of the Sacramento Kings. Go ahead, Sean.
He came very close to this before finally being overruled. He wanted to install a hoop next to the entrance to the I don't know if it was supposed to be in the outside of the locker room or outside the tunnel to the locker room,
mm-hmm.
With the idea that players could practice their free throw shooting there during games. So, like, a guy would get subbed out of the
cool.
game. But, like, guys don't really leave the bench mm-hmm. during games.
Right.
And also, I don't know if it's really that helpful, because unless you're James Harden, how often do you really go into the free throw line?
It's a fair point.
And so they went as far as to install the hoop, and then the guys on the team are like, team officials were finally like, it would be really weird if the coach tried to sub someone in and they were shooting free throws mm-hmm. in the locker room.
Right.
And I think they were like, we're kind of embarrassed by this, but they got far enough that a hoop was actually installed. And
is
then
it still there? Oh, they took it down.
No, they took That's it down. Bummer. Yeah, I wish it was there.
All right, Carmelo Anthony, Sean. We haven't really talked about him that much on the show.
No, we really haven't.
We've had some breaks.
Yeah.
But he won Player of the Week.
I loved it so
it's
much.
It's so tight.
Look.
Did James Harden score 60 points in 3/4 and Carmelo Anthony scored 67 in a week?
Yeah.
Yes. does it matter?
Not one bit.
Does anyone ever remember a Player of the Week award?
No.
The only one I remember is when, and I think it was a Player of the Month award, is when all 5 Hawks won it. I don't know if that was of a week or of a month. But there was a point when all 5 Hawks won it.
Yeah. Wait, they won in a single week or they all won in a season? Different weeks?
No, in a single week, they awarded Player of the Week to the Hawks starting 5. But it might have been Player of the Month. It was the Korver, Millsap, Horford.
Oh.
You know, that Teague.
Yeah.
One. It might have been a Player of the Month. But either these awards don't
like
fucking matter.
It's like you got a trophy. Like,
I think they do, though, actually. I think you do get a little trophy. Because really? I remember when Monte Ellis won one.
Oh. I thought it would be like a certificate.
It's like a little glass thing.
What a weird... Anyway, it's just a PR award. Like, yeah. I don't think people realize that it's just like something that the NBA releases each week because it'll make 100 nerds tweet about it at mm-hmm. once. I mean, more than 100 nerds. I'm sorry. I'm selling it short. but it's incredible that people are outraged about it. I was going to say, do you think James Harden really cares about the Player of the Week award? And then I just realized, of course he does. It's James Harden. Like, he's playing for the Rockets.
Do you think Luka Doncic cares? Because he probably would have won it, actually.
I don't think he cares about
that.
He
did win Player of the Month 2 days later, so...
Yeah. I mean, Player of the Month is a little different. I get... Because it just feels like... But in, like, a single week, is it possible your team might only be scheduled for like one game?
Yeah.
So like, I just loved how mad people got and were just throwing figures like this is a disgrace when it's like the whole award could have been called the Welcome Back Melo Award. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
look, I did not believe that he was going to help the Blazers at all, but I'm certainly rooting for him. I just didn't think it would happen.
Right.
Like you wanted him to come back and suck so you could, like it angers you if he does well. No, it rules.
So you could bet against him on your betting.
Yeah. Betting that's what website. You want to do. And if it crushes you, you gotta just
tweet about it incessantly
forever. Just oh, he sucks. He's terrible.
He's never been good.
This Hall of Famer is trash. It's super tight. Look, Joey, we have been talking about how the Blazers should add Melo for at least a year and a half. Yeah. It's great.
So the Warriors, our beloved Golden State Warriors, yes, were flexed from two national TV games this month.
Yeah. How dare they?
They're not playing on 12-13 or 12-18 anymore.
God. America needs to see Willie Cauley-Stein.
And you know what I got to say? Uh-huh. Good. Keep doing it. Because you know what? I want to watch this team in a dark room by myself. Because you know what? They're bad at basketball.
Uh-huh.
But I've really been enjoying this season. I have been enjoying this season of Warriors basketball more than the last two seasons.
Wow. I will say I'm not there with you, Joey.
I feel at home. This is what Warriors basketball is. Not on national TV. Being excited about a second round pick while your first round pick is having the worst season of a rookie you can ever have.
Yeah.
Well, all of your overpaid players are hurt. One of them might not even be good.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I found it a little bit tough when they just didn't have anyone playing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, all right, I'm watching a G League game right
but
now.
You're
like,
watching
like,
Eric Paschal.
Well, I am watching Eric Paschal. I love that. But like the bench comes in and it's like, oh God, it's Marquise Chris. And like I like individual players, but like you just can't be like that overwhelmed. But now that like Draymond's playing a few minutes, all that had to happen was D'Angelo Russell had to come back. And then I'm like, ah, Monte lives. You know what I mean? Like he's taking crazy shots. A lot of them are going in. He's not guarding anyone.
They're all like 20 footers too. Uh-huh. They're not three pointers.
I mean, but he kind of rules. Like it was like those Monte Ellis games where you'd be like, he scored 40. I don't know if he really helped the team actually. But here it's like, I want him to be shooting more. Like there's no reason D'Angelo Russell shouldn't be taking like 30 shots a game.
I am weirdly right back in Warriors bad mode where I'm mad every time Eric Paschal isn't the one shooting.
Well, I feel like
I mean, run an ISO for him every single time. Let him learn, baby.
It's like watching Reggie Williams light it up for them. but the thing that's great about them not being on national TV is that understandably the announcers get bored. The Warriors announcers do not get bored because Bob Fitzgerald, after 5 years of championship basketball,
finally gets to yell how if they hadn't lost a quarter by 25 points, they'd be winning the game right now.
Giving them like arbitrary things like that 6.5 minute stretch, they're outscoring him by 7, and like he's mad that like an undrafted rookie isn't getting a call from the refs.
Really, one of the worst people in
sports. Calling like totally anonymous players by their first names.
Uh-huh.
Like he's Bob Costas watching the 96 Bulls. So upset.
That has been the worst part about this season, is not having Jim Barnett to shut him up every once in a while really has been... Because I like Kalen Azubuike.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Warriors ever, actually.
Yeah, I love him too.
But he's so new, he's just letting Bob drive, and
I get what you're saying there, but like, it's not. The car is on fire and it's going off a cliff. You know what I mean? Like, at that point, I kind of want Neil Diamond to be on the radio. You know what I mean? Like crank up the Nickelback as I'm plunging to my death in a flaming car. Let Bob just run this show.
All right. While we're talking about bad announcers.
Oh, yeah.
This is the last thing we should talk about. Yeah, the Jazz played the Lakers this week. And first off, the refs missed a really bad travel, but it was the most innocuous travel I've ever seen. Like,
yeah.
LeBron wasn't even making a move. It was just he was dribbling up the court and then just held the ball and took five steps and then started dribbling again.
So it was also a double dribble.
Boyan had an amazing reaction.
Yeah,
But Jazz fans, of course, lost their shit because they weren't being respected.
Yeah, yeah. And it when you watch, it's incredibly blatant, but it's also like that travel, I think last year, where Russell Westbrook jogged like seven steps with the ball. It's just that, like,
why would the ref be watching?
Yeah,
that?
The ref's running and he's just watching other. He's like, you know, when there's no one's
guarding LeBron.
The defender's 8 feet away from him. And so it's like, yeah, you just weren't watching because you went into autopilot and you're like, I'm watching other things. And
but yeah, they should have lost possession. Text. I sent you this text as it happened. I was like, oh my God, this is like a Jazz fan's wet dream. They get to yell about this for 3 years. Just like they didn't call LeBron the most blatant travel in NBA history on LeBron because they don't respect the Jazz. It's like exactly what they want. It's the perfect combination of player, team. Like we are 1 second to midnight on the doomsday clock.
Do you think they're going to make signs that say Le Travel the next time he comes in?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too.
But then, as if LeBron couldn't make them more mad, what did he do later?
So it was basically garbage time at this point. No, I mean, it's absolutely garbage time because LeBron had removed his shoes. And I don't even remember what player it is. Did Kuzma block the shot that he was so excited about? I don't remember. A Jazz player drives the lane, and the Lakers block his shot.
Well, you know why LeBron had removed his shoes, right? Don't forget that part.
I don't know why.
He gave them to a child in the crowd in the middle of the third quarter.
A child for me. Wait, he was out that early?
Yeah, it might have been early fourth, but yes.
But whenever he left the game.
They were up by like 27 points.
They were, oh, you're right. It was actually, I had thought the game was a little bit closer because of... Because, oh, no, it was not, they won by 25, and they were up by 16 at halftime, so,
either way, LeBron literally gave his shoes away while sitting on the bench, and then just sat there with no shoes on the whole game, the whole rest of the game.
Yeah, and so he got so excited about Kuzma's block that he, like, kind of jogged down on the baseline and was like pumping his fist to celebrate it. Look, this year, not that this isn't the norm, but LeBron has been a phenomenal teammate. I feel like he's personally rebuilt Kentavious Caldwell Pope's psyche.
He hasn't traded any of his own
players. No, he's not forcing anyone out. He's even okay with like Jared Dudley playing occasionally. The Lakers were, boy, what an ass kicking this was.
Dude, there's something up with the Jazz. Like, I know Quinn Snyder, those teams start slow every year, it seems like, where it's like they're like four games below 500 and then like until like mid December, and then the All-Star break happens and it's like the Jazz have been the best team in basketball for 2 months.
Right. Yeah, they're like all those announcers / podcasters / angry journalists are always just making up these stats where you're like, well, if you can look at the last 34 games,
the Jazz are the greatest team in basketball history.
Yeah.
But there's something up with this team. I don't get, like, I get there's a lot of new players, I mean, maybe it's just a tax for not having Ricky Rubio. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that happens. I mean, their depth is kind of bad. Yeah. I'll say that. But also, Conley's been hurt and bad.
Conley's been bad when he wasn't hurt, too. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I'm rooting for the Jazz, too. I like the Jazz this year. Boyan and Ingles, you can't beat them, baby.
I don't particularly care for Rudy Gobert. Look, I know he's good.
We know. But just, come on, Boyan and Ingles.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The problem is actually Boyan has been really good, and it's Ingles. Marginalized Ingles.
Ingles has been rough.
It really has been, like, just as I predicted, it's just like Southland Tales.
Yeah. Now I did recently add him in my Africa-based fantasy basketball league, the only one I'm in, but I also had forgotten I was playing fantasy basketball until just now.
You can't do that.
So I don't think I've made a roster move in like 3 weeks. I'm sorry.
Come on.
I'm sorry to Purity and the rest of the league owners.
These people listen to us. Listen to our podcast.
I've ignored a lot of I feel bad. I'm gonna set my lineup now.
You know what I was thinking about today?
What was that?
You know what the Snyder Cut is? The Quinn Snyder Cut is?
Ooh, what is it?
It's 100% pure, baby. It's not cut with anything.
Oh, damn.
Cocaine. All right. Sean, I think that's our show.
I think so, too.
Oh, wait, we didn't even explain. And then the announcer went crazy because LeBron stepped on the court with no shoes on.
Oh, yeah, he lost.
We didn't even get that far. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know if it was like that he was on the court at all or his socks or.
It's because he's not white, dude.
Yeah, that's probably right. What else do you think he's. I don't know.
What other etiquette breaches would Mr. Manners have a problem with?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to say too urban. A handshake in between free throws. Like someone's not going to slap hands, but they're going to do like a fancier thing. And he's going to be like, no room for that. We're not on the playground.
I don't think he likes it when Draymond Green makes eye contact with the refs.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
All right. That's our show. We've gone on too long. Sean, what would you like to plug?
New Year's Eve shows in San Francisco at Cobb's the 29th through the 30th. I'm basically doing shows in San Francisco the week after Christmas all over town. And then, you can read my NBA stuff on Yard Barker, where I've never gotten more angry responses than when I said I thought the Clippers could beat the Lakers in the playoffs this year. Someone went to my personal Instagram to post a very, very poorly spelled rant.
Wow, who are you, Corbin profile. Smith NFL?
I know. And then I looked up his profile, and he apparently writes screenplays. I don't believe it.
All right. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where today was my birthday. So please buy something from my store, Outrageous Olive Oil and Vinegar. but on December 4th, I tweeted, today is one of those days, you know?
I do know, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
I know what he's saying, right?
I think he was selling a lot of olive oil. Sean, did you write a song?
You know, Joey, I did. And this one is, it's a parody of a really great song from last year. Like, we've talked about how we don't follow modern music, but this is actually a parody of a song done by The Ringer.
Is Hallelujah. It called Hallelujah? Yeah, okay, it's great.
Yeah, that's the song, and this song is called Baby Yoda.
Yeah, all right, great. I
the
can't wait to
Baby
hear
the Baby Yoda song you're going to hear this week.
Look, we're just trying to go viral. Are we shameless copycats? Sure. But we just want to go viral. We
and
want
if anyone knows Lin-Manuel Miranda
to tweet at how about how great we are, about how great your singing voice is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's playing right now. Please, while you're listening to it, close your eyes and imagine those two watchmen having sex. Because as everyone knows, in the Snyder Cut, of the Watchmen, they have sex to Hallelujah.
They do.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's never talk about The Irishman being too long ever again.
Never.
Well, I heard there was a puppet green that Ted Cruz used as a Twitter meme. And in the swamp he lived, it bubbled like soda. Well, he's got great style, he makes me smile like an angry rap from Cousin Kyle. That goofy cousin is a total broda. Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda. Well, you thought Favreau would use CGI. Werner Herzog loved the little guy. His cuteness made the internet explode. He's the biggest success from Disney Plus. He could get more ass than Jerry Buss. And Hamilton belongs in a Komodo. Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda. Baby, I've seen Star Wars before, and I don't care about Mandalore. This stupid series has a million codas. And I know David Chang's your favorite cook, but a podcast series is not a book. I heard 5 episodes and now I won't download her. Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda. Well, I'm pretty sure they wrote a blog about how Boba Fett's an alpha dog. The website stinks, they need some baking soda. That little guy's from Dagobah, and Joe House loves to eat foie gras. I can't believe he doesn't look more bloated. Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda.
You know, we started making these songs almost exactly 1 year ago, totally convinced that they were gonna go viral. Well, it's a year later, and you know what? Every single one of them has gone viral. So pass this on to all your friends, to Luka Doncic, to Lin-Manuel Miranda, and if you're a psychic, a medium, or can communicate with the afterlife, play this for Jeff Buckley.
Baby, I've never seen the show. I only have HBO Go. They don't have any given Wednesday. It's peculiar. Not that you have to stick to sports, but grown-ups arguing about Hogwarts is why I get bummed out by Grantland Jr. Grantland Jr. Grantland Jr. Grantland Jr. Grantland Jr.
Junior. Grand Junior. Grandland Junior. Grandland Junior. Grandland Junior, Grandland Junior, Grandland Junior.
Baby Yoda, baby.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.